Welcome to Built, Wired, and Secured, the podcast where we explore how modern buildings are designed, connected, and protected in the real world. I'm Alex Morgan, and in today's episode, we're diving into tabletop exercises for building technology, why they matter, where projects usually go wrong, and what decision makers need to understand before problems show up in production. Joining me today is Michael Harrington, and together we'll break this down from a practical, real-world perspective.
Cold open. It's Tuesday at 3 a.m. A storm knocks out a transformer, and the backup generator fails to kick. The building loses power, the access control system goes offline, elevators stop between floors, and the help desk is flooded with calls from tenants who can't badge in. The people on duty have no consolidated playbook. Vendors are on different call lists, and the facilities lead is racing to understand what systems are impacted. That scramble turns a manageable outage into a four-hour tenant incident.
That's why tabletop exercises exist, to rehearse the human part of recovery, so those 4 hours feel like a practiced response instead of improvisation. Today, Michael will walk us through common operational gaps, how to design realistic, non-disruptive scenarios, and how to turn what you learn into runbooks and capital decisions you can defend.
Thanks, Alex. From an operational standpoint, tabletop exercises are the single best investment you can make to reduce downtime. They don't fix every system, but they reveal where your assumptions live and what breaks if this goes down.
Let's start with the root causes. Michael, when you walk into a property team that hasn't run exercises, what are the recurring gaps you find?
There are three recurring gaps. First, undocumented dependencies. Systems depend on other systems. A card reader depends on PoE switches. Those switches depend on a network closet that might be on a different maintenance schedule. Second, single points of failure that nobody's tracked because they work most of the time. That's fine until it fails. Third, silos. IT, facilities, security, property management, and vendors each have different contact lists and assumptions about escalation. Tabletop exercises expose all three quickly.
Can you give an example of how an exercise made one of those gaps visible?
Sure. In one exercise, we simulated a partial power loss. Facilities assumed the UPS covered the access control servers. IT assumed those servers were cloud hosted. During the drill, it became obvious the access control database was local to a rack served by a single UPS that wasn't on the critical maintenance list. The result? A plan to move risk to a redundant UPS and update maintenance windows, because the exercise answered the question, what breaks if this goes down, before it actually did.
Let's move into designing scenarios. How realistic should a tabletop be? And how do you balance realism with the risk of disrupting tenants?
Start with discussion-based scenarios. No system toggles, no live failovers, so you can probe decisions without creating risk. Realism comes from the injects you add. Time of day constraints, incomplete vendor staffing, simultaneous failures. Scope narrowly. Pick one subsystem or one failure mode per exercise. Keep it 60 to 90 minutes. Include roles that matter. Facilities lead, IT lead, security lead, vendor rep, and a tenant representative if tenant-facing services are involved. That gives you realism in decision-making without touching production.
Walk me through a simple scenario outline listeners can use. What's the timeline and what are the injects?
A simple timeline. 0 to 10 minutes, scenario briefing and role assignments. 10 to 40 minutes, primary injects, power loss, partial network outage, or credential replication failure. Every 10 minutes, add an inject that forces a decision. Delayed vendor arrival, conflicting vendor advice, or a tenant escalation. Use injects to test communication channels. Who calls who, what gets logged, and who owns the external tenant message. Finish with a 20-minute after action, where you capture decisions, unknowns, and immediate mitigations.
Running the drill is one thing. Measuring the outcomes is how you make it useful. What metrics should teams track?
Keep metrics simple and operational. Track time to decision for critical calls. Time to first contact with vendors. Number of undocumented dependencies discovered. And percentage of injects with an identified owner. Qualitative metrics matter too. Clarity of communication. whether roles were understood, and whether the runbook steps were actionable. Those metrics give you measurable improvements you can show to leadership or use to prioritize capital spend.
How do you convert exercise findings into something that changes behavior, a living runbook or a capital plan?
Two outputs, a short executive summary and an operational runbook. The executive summary is one page, top three risks found, recommended fixes with rough cost estimates, and expected downtime reduction. That gets read. The runbook is a step-by-step playbook, roles, contact list with primary and backup numbers, decision tree, safe state procedures, and quick fallbacks. Version the runbook, schedule rewalks, and assign owners to close each finding within 30, 60, or 90 days.
Can you share a couple of anonymized case studies where tabletop exercises actually changed capital or operational decisions?
Example 1. A downtown office had repeated badge failures during peak hours. The exercise revealed a single POE switch in a riser that served two floors. Replacing that switch and adding a small redundant uplink cut similar incidents from monthly to nearly zero, and the capital ask was approved because the exercise showed expected operational hours saved. Example 2. A campus with mixed vendor contracts discovered no single escalation path for generator testing. The runbook created a single vendor on-call rotation and a documented test checklist. Vendor response times improved, and the facilities team reduced emergency labor costs. Both were low to moderate spend changes justified by operational metrics from the drills.
Okay, before we wrap, give listeners three prioritized actions they can take in the next 30 to 90 days.
Action 1, 30 days. Convene a one-hour tabletop with cross-functional leads and run a simple power loss inject. Action 2, 60 days. Produce a one-page executive summary from that tabletop with three prioritized fixes and owners. Action 3, 90 days. Convert the highest priority fix into a runbook step and schedule a follow-up tabletop to validate the change. Do those three and you'll move from guesswork to measurable readiness.
If you want the templates we mentioned, scenario briefs, inject lists, runbook templates, and an after-action summary template, visit our show notes. You'll find downloadable exercise templates, sample runbooks, and episode notes to get started. Visit gds.technology/built-wired-secured for the download and step-by-step examples. That wraps up today's episode of Built, Wired, and Secured. We covered how tabletop exercises turn guesswork into predictable recovery and how small, realistic drills can lead to measurable operational improvements and better capital decisions. Thanks for spending time with us. Until next time, make sure the systems you're responsible for are built to last, wired with intention, and secured for the real world.
Thanks, Alex. Remember, start small, keep it realistic, and ask, what breaks if this goes down? That question changes how you prioritize work.